It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
Welcome to another edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. Most of the listeners already know that this show is all about marketing and business strategies for success. And all of you know the host of this show, Yitzhak Saflis, who is also the founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, an award-winning marketing agency helping hundreds of corporate, political and non-profit clients build their brands since 1992. Yitzhak's guest list reads like the who is who of marketing, sales, communication, leadership, retail, social media, corporate culture or entrepreneurship. And business celebrities like Jack Canfield, Captain Sully Sullenberger, Joe Hart, or my friends Jeffrey Hazlett, Jay Beer, Shep Hyken have been guests in his show. And I was lucky to be one of them too. I am Sylvie DiGiusto, New York City-based executive branding and image expert. I work with executives and politicians and companies who place great importance in themselves and their reputation. And I help professionals and corporations to explore how people make up their minds very quickly about them, their leadership potential or their company, and either open the door for them or slam it shut. Shortly said, I speak, I consult, I write, and most important, I package people. Yes, that's what I do. And earlier this year, I had the pleasure of sitting in the guest seat in this studio, sharing some insights about first impressions and how I package people. And I experienced one of the most interesting, challenging, and also fun interviews I've ever had. And it was not because of me. Instead, I have learned that the quality of a show is not so much about the guest, it's about the interviewer and the questions he or she prepared. And Yitzhak delivers a masterpiece week for week with his interview quality, and I was lucky enough to be part of this. Since he is with his family tonight, those celebrating with his loved ones, and he can't be here with us tonight, he was kind enough to offer me his seat and hand it over the microphone. And as you can imagine, those are quite big shoes to fill, and I can't thank him enough for this opportunity. I also want to thank his team and the team at 77 WABC who helped to make this happen. And I also want to thank in advance today's guest because, of course, I didn't come alone. Today's guest is a Guinness record holder. He has an incredible taste when it comes to dressing well, but he told me he was born this way. And on a regular basis, he teaches me important facts. For example, for every human on Earth, there are 1.6 million ants. Or ostriches don't bury their heads in the sand. They wouldn't be able to breathe if they would do so. But they do dig holes in the dirt to use as nests for their eggs. And crocodiles cannot chew their food. Horses cannot breathe out their mouths, but only through their nostrils. Most important, though, he's a great friend of mine. Jess Todfeld, welcome to Mind Your Business.
That is the best intro ever, and everybody is so frightened right now. And so this whole interview, this whole show took a turn. But Sylvie, that just, to me, shows me how Sylvie did her homework. She found old emails that I wrote to her with ridiculous facts in them just to see if anybody read to the bottom. And apparently she did. That's why that horses only breathe through their nose. I mean, I would Google for a little tidbit. That has nothing to do with all the great marketing facts that we're and tidbits that we're sharing with everybody today. But it just shows... Boy, you know, sometimes people do their homework, and, you know, it's kind of like the long copy sales pages. Mm-hmm. You wonder sometimes, is anybody really reading this stuff if we put it together? Apparently, yes.
Apparently. Absolutely. Let me give you his formal bio, though, so that you know what an amazing person I have here next to me. Jess Todfeld is the president of Success in Media, one of the leading business communication and media training authorities in the U.S. Todfeld helps CEOs, business executives, spokespeople, public relations representatives, experts, and authors to not just become better communicators, but create real outcomes. Todd Feld brings with him 13 years of experience as television producer on the national level for networks including NBC, ABC and Fox. During that time, he booked and produced over 5,000 segments. He was also part of the team that launched The O'Reilly Factor and Fox and Friends. On the other side of the camera, Todd Feld has hosted, reported and even earned a Guinness record as guest, record for most interviews given in 24-hour period. 112. He is the author of several books, including his latest international bestseller, Media Secrets, a media training crash course. Chess, people always get nervous around me in terms of their visual appearance. The most common question, what do you think about my outfit today, is what I usually get asked. And I realized I brought myself into a very similar situation, conducting an interview with a media expert, the media expert. So quite a lot of pressure on me. I mean, who does that, right? Finally, I know how others must feel when they look at me or I look at them. So tell me how I'm doing so far.
Amazing. In fact, if I were to ask you, how do I look? And the reason why, when she said earlier that Jess, when he talks about his style, says, I was born this way, was a wink at Sylvie. She says she packages people, and that is such an amazing part of marketing. And I said that because she really packaged me. And that's one of the ways that we've intersected. But yes, you know, it's funny. I do get that also. And people who are tuning in may be thinking, hey, they want to figure out how to use media and their marketing. And people worry about it. But I usually say, just get started. Don't worry about being perfect out of the gate. Just do something. And you'll get out in front of more people.
Exactly. Well, getting in front of people or getting on this show and having the chance to speak about our area of expertise or businesses or services mainly happened through connections. You know, we knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody, and then I got invited and you got invited. For a business owner, it might not work this way, right? Can you share some insider tips or tricks how to actually get in the media?
Yes, to get in the media. Well, this is going to be a big surprise. We're going to make people's heads explode when I say this. You have to ask. You must ask, whether it's a publicist doing it for you or you sending an email out to a media person. I could say media person could be TV, print, radio, or even internet media. It could be blogger, somebody who has some sort of platform or audience that may be even better than Oprah for you, maybe your direct audience. But you need to ask. And really, it's just an email these days. And the worst thing that they could say is no or not open your email, in which case you send another one, which is what we did when I had launched a previous book and we set that Guinness record. I see me along with a co-author. And we said, let's just do this bigger than anybody else. So we had to ask, which was email, and we also picked up the phone. And called all of those stations and more and said, this is what we're doing. And you'd be surprised. It is actually easier than you think. And when we eliminate, say, the top media outlets in the United States or elsewhere, and we focus, say, on your local market, not as many people are pitching them. So there are really a lot of opportunities, if you have a good story or hook, as we call it, for them to say, oh, that would be of value to our audience. So it's asking. That's what it comes down to.
So I had the great pleasure to be in one of your training sessions and learn from you how to pitch the media. And while an email might sound very easy and quick to do, I have learned that there are some major tricks how to write that email really good. Can you share three with us?
Sure. I will definitely share three, which is, number one, it's all about the subject line. The subject line will help you get your email open. So this is great for getting more media, but for everybody listening, for your regular business emails, you need to get your email open. So the subject line should say either pitch, like it's a media pitch, you're pitching the media, pitch, colon, and then the story idea or hook, or story, colon, and the hook. And the hook is basically the headline. And if you're unsure of a headline, then, or how to create a headline, you should go to the Google News, that's news.google.com, and type in your your keywords. So if it's leadership, say you talk about leadership, type that in, and you'll see a number of articles about leadership. You know, the eight biggest, most important leadership traits for women. And you might say, oh, I could do that story. And just because it was done in some small newspaper somewhere doesn't mean you can't pitch it elsewhere. So number one, the headline should be in that subject line. Number two, you must address it to an actual person. Mm-hmm. If you just say, hi, editors, which is something I used to get as a producer, I know that I can hit delete and it doesn't help. And the third thing would be bullet points. So bullet points on what you would say in an interview. So not just, hey, here's blocks and blocks of text that you have no time to read, person on the other end of the email. This, you'll say, this is what Jess Todfeld would say in this interview. So they can look and say, oh, now I can envision this interview happening and I don't have to guess. And sometimes when I was a producer, we'd have people show up and turned out they had nothing to say. Their publicist wrote a nice email, but they had no specifics. You know, if it was, you know, how we can fix the economy, if they showed up and said, well, it's, you know, a tough situation. It's not going to change. Uh-oh, now what are we going to do for the rest of the of the whole interview? So those three are really key. And just as a bonus fourth, get over yourself. Get it done. Write an email. Find an email address or buy a list with emails or hire a publicist, whatever you do, and send something out. And often, say, for print, their email address, the writer's email address, will be at the bottom of the article. So find one and go do it today. How about that for an action item?
Wow, amazing, amazing. Are there specific topics an editor feels attracted to? You know, are there specific topics, chances are higher that I get invited than with others?
Well, let's take this show, Mind Your Business. So if it's a marketing angle, Yitzhak or whoever's looking through those pitches will say, this is perfect for my show. But if I blindly, and this is what a lot of people do, blindly just sent out a story about doing a cooking segment, I have a feeling I'd have a hard time getting on this show. It wouldn't appeal to the audience. It wouldn't appeal to the producers of the show. So the biggest piece is to really connect with that audience and know what that audience wants and use that wording right up at the top, whether it's in that hook, in that headline, or right in the beginning of the email to let people know that this is for their audience. It's key.
Yeah.
Most people die right then.
You just mentioned one of those mistakes, and actually that would be my next question for you. You have been on the other side for many, many years. What were some major mistakes or turns off that you have experienced with people, in particular with business owners who wanted to get on media into your show or whatever you did?
Well, first, I'll begin with the question that I get asked by business owners, which is, they'll say, is it better for me to have a publicist or to pitch myself? That's what they're worried about. Mm-hmm. On the receiving side, we didn't care whether it was you pitching yourself or a publicist pitching you, as long as you got to the point. We knew what the story was, and it was in that headline. We can easily eyeball that whole list, that email, and know what it is you're going to say. So a big mistake is people would put in blocks and blocks of text when they're pitching and basically say, well, this is everything about what I do, and I don't know what the story will be for you. I don't know. That's for you to figure out. And the problem is, if you get hundreds of emails, and we would get physical mail and calls and all the rest of it, then it was confusing. We did not know where to start. And I don't, if I have a busy day, I can't figure out what your story is. If Sylvie was pitching me and said, here's the A to Z on everything I've ever done leading me up to my business, I would be confused by that. But if she said, let's look at the presidential candidates and I'll tell you who is dressed to win, well, I want to have that conversation if I have a new show, and I worked on new shows predominantly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so, and that's you deciding as a business owner, I'm going to do as much of the work for them so they can just say yes or no.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what you just said, I mean, basically I would do that to promote my business, my services, my knowledge. So how can I sell something on air without selling something on air?
Yes. So this is a delicate area, and people sometimes go out. Another mistake they might make is to go out and think that it's a big commercial, and it's not. Or the flip side, go out and talk about everything but their business and then forget to promote themselves. And thankfully, there's a nice middle ground, which is you lead with value. You really want to give as much as you can to the audience and as many strategies and tips. I like the word strategies better than tips. Tips seem like throwaways. So strategies I like to put out there. And then now that they've grown to like you, now they want to know more about who you are and how else they can find out more information from you. So I like to say there was an old idea. It was the plugging. You'd plug something. You would force something into the interview, which was basically your ad. And I've changed it. So it's an acronym now, which means properly leverage your gift. I spelled your, U-R, because, you know, you got to make it work. And and you should have a gift. So anytime you do an interview, you want to have a gift to give, some sort of free thing so that people can take an easy next step and go somewhere. Yeah, so that's what people should do to make the most.
I assume if I would just hard sell on air, then I would not be reinvited from the producer. Can you share with us one or two other things that happen that people actually get not reinvited? Because getting onto media once is great, but our goal is to get there twice, three times, four times, again and again,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, you said the hard sell. So if I came on today and I said, Sylvie, and Sylvie just says, you know, oh, tell me about how this relates to business owners. Well, you know, I have chapters in my book, and it's called Media Secrets, and let me tell you about the book. And now I didn't answer the question. That's one mistake, because I just started talking about my own thing. Another mistake is to say, well, you know, that's something I talk about in the book. And then Sylvie would be thinking, well, tell me now. Mm-hmm. Well, it's in chapter 4. People will have to buy the book. All that does is make everybody angry, and they want to strangle you. So by giving, the old thought was, if I'm telling you what's in it, well, then you don't want anything else from me. But obviously, we can't go through everything that's in the book, or I can't tell you everything that's in my mind. And you'll help some people. You want them really nowadays to take some baby step. Go to your website, get some sort of free item. And I should practice what I preach. I have a free item for people today. And yes, and she's pointing at me. By the way, this is what I call plugging without plugging. Because you say that, and the interviewer just says, all right, you might as well just sure, give it to our audience. And Sylvie was just pointing at me, just saying, sure, go ahead. So for my business now is media training. I teach people how to make the most from media interviews. So I have a whole bunch of free stuff, videos and top 10 lists on different types of interviews at mediatrainingtoolkit.com. And usually what I tell people is then people would give a name and an email, and then they get this free stuff. I'm even going to buck the system. You don't even have to give me your name and email. I'll just give it to you. How about that? Now that's crazy.
Amazing. But we have something else free to share with our listeners today, because before we go into a commercial break, there is some important information for you. As you know, Yitzhak always has great giveaways for his listeners. And of course, we also wanted to bring something. And while others might go and buy chess books, I have one autographed copy here right in front of me of Media Secrets and Media Training Crash Course. And if you would be if you would like to be the lucky person who gets the copy, then send a text message to 66866. Once again, send a text message to 66866. And simply put in the word Bottom Line, the name of Yitzhak's company, Bottom Line, BOTTOM Line. So send a text message to 66866, put in the word Bottom Line, and you will be the happy person who gets this autographed version for free. And if for any reason you missed a moment of this interview, which you shouldn't, keep in mind that Mind Your Business is also available online. Stop by at wabcbizradio.com. wabcbizradio.com, and you will be able to access this episode very soon. We both have the pleasure to take over Yitzhak's studio for tonight. And if you miss him, though, you can find Yitzhak anywhere on social media and follow him on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, LinkedIn, and so on. And same is, of course, true for me, Silvia Di Giusto. But you should also connect with our guest and the media expert, Chess Totfeld, online to learn from him with every tweet, post, article, video he shares. And talking about social media, Chess, let's talk a little bit about media and how it has changed during the last years.
Oh, it's definitely changed a good deal. And that's something that I've been addressing in the new book. A lot of people think that media training, so I teach people to do a better job in front of the media, but also leverage every media opportunity, convert interviews into business. They think traditional media, TV, print, radio. And a lot of times people even refer to TV as the first screen and our computer as the second screen and don't even recognize the smartphone, which I think really is our first screen. Mm-hmm. We're on it all day long. So it's all changing. And somebody who comes up to you at a conference and holds up their iPhone and wants to interview you is now worldwide media. They put it on YouTube. And they're shooting it in 4K video if they have the new iPhone and can have a little microphone. It might even be better than the traditional interview where you maybe only get to talk about your business for 30 seconds of the entire interview if you're talking about another topic. So it's all changing. And what I want people to be aware of and be thinking is there are some amazing opportunities out there, whether it's a blogger or a podcaster or whatever we want to call some of them. As this morning, a business associate and I interviewed a woman from Bali over Skype, and we recorded it, and we're putting it out as a video podcast, and people will see that, and it will bring up new folks who are finding out about it, and it's very interesting. What I want people to do is think about how you can make the most of it, whether you seek out someone who can interview you or be the media, which is pick up your phone, interview somebody. You can use something called freeconferencecall.com, and you can interview somebody else. Our friend and business mogul, Jay Baer, who has the website Convince and Convert, he says he will find people who are his future prospects and clients, and he'll interview them. And then they'll find out what he's doing, and they'll say, wow, maybe I should work with you. So you can be the media. So the old idea of waiting around and hoping that some gatekeeper will say yes is only one piece of the equation. So go do it. The tools are there for all of us.
Mm-hmm. But if you would have to choose,
yes,
is it more relevant for a business owner to be on Good Morning America, or is it more relevant for a business owner to have a post that goes viral on Facebook and gets thousands of likes and shares and comments?
If I had to choose, and I'm going with the premise of choosing, I would choose viral, and I'll tell you why. Because I can use that viral video to go pitch Good Morning America or one of these big shows. And play it up for a good long time, and that's what's really exciting right now. So I might still be able to get Good Morning America or any of those big shows because they know that's what people are talking about, and there must be something there. There's social proof, mm-hmm, proof mm-hmm. of the masses that something that we're saying is resonating. And if I were to get Good Morning America first or even just your local morning show, what I would do is I would take that and I would push it out. This is how you convert interviews into business. You want to push it out through your social media, and you want to tell people, you want a call to action for what they should do next. This is the formula, people who are listening in. You need to take the interview. You want to push it out through social media. You want to push it out through your email marketing. You want to put it not just on the web page that you have for interviews or media. You want to put it throughout your website so it shows up in different areas. And then tell people what to do next so that they see this. And again, it's also social proof, proof that people, the media in this case, find what you say as valuable, and then people start to take next steps. So the way to really make it work for you, I say most people are not going to sell and find clients the moment that they're on an interview. Mm-hmm, right mm-hmm. now, my phone's not, well, I turned it into airplane mode, but it's not ringing for people saying, Jess, I can't believe it. I must work with you this second. But the way people work is they'll say, well, that sounds intriguing. Let me take a next step. Let me go to his website, or let me Google this person. Oh, I read an article. Let me find out. And they take a few steps. And ideally, if it connects with them, if it works for them, then when they are ready, they'll take a next step. I have an amazing client I just had lunch with yesterday from India who said, and this is an example of being the media, I have hundreds and hundreds of short videos on YouTube and elsewhere or through emails if people get onto a certain stream. And he said, I was looking at your emails and I was watching every single video for a year. And then he became a pretty major client. Now he's a strategic partner in another country. How great is that? So that is an example of taking control. You can now record with your phone, make sure audio is good. You have to get one of those plugins for a microphone. And you can create content.
Perfect.
And they really piggyback off each other. Mm-hmm, but I like that idea of, if I had to choose, it's the Sophie's choice of media.
Exactly. So during the first part of this show, we talked about getting on the media. And while every business owner usually gets very excited about being on the air in any way, might it be traditional or going viral on the internet, we then quickly realize, uh-oh, what did we get into? You know, and the fear kicks in, the fear. And in your book, you write about the fear of speaking, the fear of the unknown, the fear of looking back, the fear of forgetting, the fear of questions. I would like to add the fear of sitting in a studio with a media expert. Can you share a few tips with us what to do when that fear kicks right in?
Well, I think Oprah said this, although she was quoting somebody else, where she said, feel the fear and do it anyway. I mean, people usually regret not doing something and not necessarily doing something. And we just have to take those leaps, especially if the business people who are tuning in want to take their business forward. Media is a marketing strategy. So it's not just going out and hoping that the phones ring, because you will probably be disappointed. And yes, you were naming those fears. So it really falls, media falls under that category of public speaking. It's a type of public speaking. And of course, we're speaking to a large number of people like we are today. And that can scare people. And fear, by the way, we don't want to assume that everybody has fear of public speaking and their fear of media and all these things. In some ways, we're putting that fear into them by bringing it up. I mean, I bring it up in the book. And the way I try to make it better is to say, since it falls under that category of fear of public speaking, what is the fear really? Because we speak all day long and we speak to people. Why are we afraid? And it's really this mix of fears that you talked about, the biggest one being fear of the unknown. So I say the more we can eliminate the unknown, the better you'll feel. So if we, right now we're in a very fancy radio studio and there are lots of lights and buttons and all sorts of things around and people moving around through ABC studios here. But if we were to come in and do this every day or once a week, it would be no big deal. You know, big deal, lights are flashing, who cares, we're having a conversation, all that would fade into the distance. And for TV, ooh, big lights in the ceiling, all that, lights are lights. And, you know, somebody is going to ask you questions, okay, we can probably predict what most of those most basic questions are. The more we get rid of the unknown, so doing your research is one way to get rid of the unknown, the better we'll feel, and the more we do it, the better we'll feel, and the better we'll be.
Talking about feeling, when I read your book, I also realized that you are a people packager too, because we have very similar clients and challenges. Because in your book, you say, before starting a media training session, clients often tell me that they want to feel more confident and in control. It is important to understand that there is a big difference between the way something feels and the way it looks. You can feel nervous and look completely relaxed. I do that with clothing. I help people exactly with that. You do it with your media trainings. So is it all? It's all about confidence, right?
It is, and I listen closely to the words people use. So when they talk about media, and often business people, and you and I work with a lot of CEOs and high-level executives, they'll say, I need to get out and do more media. And then what happens, this is where emotion comes in, and they say, maybe you can help me feel better during the process. Instead of saying, how can I convert more interviews? What do I need to say to really make this thing a powerful marketing piece that I can use over and over in the future? No, the bar gets very low, which is, I don't want to look stupid, and how can I just not feel terrible? And I guess the secret to that, I'm going to give away media secrets, that's here comes the secret, is practicing. You can practice with a video recording device. You have one in your pocket, very likely, if you have a smartphone. And you can hand it to somebody and say, ask me these five basic questions. And then you see what you look like. So that's another way of eliminating the unknown. So the old antiquated idea of look in the mirror or practice in the mirror, that's about as old as saying, pretend the audience doesn't have clothes on, which seems very distracting. I never really understood it. I never really understood that one. So practice with a video. There's a lot that we can do to feel better, but that's only part of the equation. The other part is doing. We need to then say, okay, I've dealt with feeling, I've eliminated the unknown, now I have a job to do. And what I want people to think today, this is a call to action, by the way, is not necessarily, I'm not promoting something, I'm saying the call to action is, I want you to think of interviews as a powerful marketing piece where people can connect with you, they can connect with your material, and you get into their head so that they can take next steps. And that's what you should. In fact, for radio, so we're on radio right now, I'll just give a quick strategy. If any of you do a radio interview and you go to put it on your website or put it out through marketing channels, you want to ask for the audio and you want to marry it to an image so you can turn it into a YouTube video. So that plus a really snazzy image, you and the host and all of that, now people are more used to seeing that big square and clicking on the orange button in the middle, or red or button, whatever the color is. So, yeah, that's a great way of making it even more exciting.
Well, thank you. But back to audiences without clothing.
Yes, well, audiences without. I knew we were going to make our way here. Yes, I'm glad.
What
I
about
up.
Tough interview questions? What if somebody asks you something about politics, something personal, or something totally off topic, like audiences without clothing?
And audiences. Yeah. I teach a method where I call this the answer system. So instead of worrying about the questions, we need a great system to get to answers that we want to give or we know would be valuable to the audience. And what we see, say, politicians do wrong is that they dodge the question and ignore the question. So if you asked about audiences and no clothing, and then I just launched into, well, let me tell you about a recent trip I had, and you're thinking, why are you telling me this? This has nothing to do with the question. We see politicians do this. You'll just keep asking the question. So dodging doesn't work in the 2000s. So the part of the technique that I talk about is you give a short answer that deals with the question. And then now you have control. Now you can move over to what you want to talk about. Ideally, it's related, or you take them on that journey. So my short answer might be, if you said, is it still relevant to imagine people with no clothes on? I would say, I think that that is outdated and is silly. Here's something I'll tell you that works. And then I get to talk about whatever I want. Obviously, it needs to still be somewhat relevant. So I never worry about the questions. In fact, if you asked me something that was so-so personal, then maybe I'd say, well, look, that's kind of personal, but I'll tell you.
Let's give it a try. Let's give it a try.
Go ahead, give it a try. I want to see it in action. What's your social security number? I don't know.
Worse than this.
Do it.
When I look at people like politicians now, Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or anybody I work with, I always split my area in four categories and say there is the A, B, C, D of a professional imprint. A for your appearance, B for your behavior, C for your communication, and D for your digital footprint. That all plays a role when people judge you and look at you and make decisions about you and your business and the quality of your service. So if I actually score an interview, what are the biggest mistakes someone can actually make in those four areas? Do you mind if you share one, I share one, and let's start with appearance?
Yeah, let's have some fun.
Okay, appearance. Oh, yeah. What is the worst mistake I can make with in terms of appearance when I'm on air, for example, on a TV show?
I'm going to go with not getting a second opinion. And I'm going to briefly just mention, one of the ways that Sylvia and I really connected was she saw me give a speech, and she said she enjoyed it and liked it and connected, and said, "Can I please be honest with you? So I'm comfortable with sharing this." And I said, "Yes." So she packages people. So she helps people not just look better with their clothes, but it goes deeper than that, and said, "We can do better with your suit." And she was very sweet and polite. And now with my new look, so she people packaged me, it really has become an amazing piece of my marketing, because I was at a conference and I had some pretty major CEOs who saw me dressed very sharply and noticed little accent pieces and wanted to start talking to me. And I was just standing there. So I think a second opinion, and the day that you came to me, I was wearing what I thought was my best suit, and it wasn't terrible, but it was not great, and I cannot wear it anymore because I now know the difference, but I think it's getting a second opinion. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I think, I mean, it's something very similar because, of course, I look on it in a very visual way, and it's something that I call the 4F rule, not considering the 4 Fs,
yeah,
which is F for fit of clothing. So very often I look onto the TV screen and think, oh my God, it's more obvious than in real life because it's caught on camera, like, and people, a lot of people just don't know how clothing actually should fit. So that's the first F. And then there is the other F for fabric choices. And they become more obvious when I'm on the screen, for example, than in real life, because I catch them there. And clothing also has function. F for function. And when I'm in front of a camera, it has the function that I have to consider that some of the colors don't work very well. Some of the patterns don't work very well because I have to consider the function that I'm in front of a camera, right? And the last one is flair. I mean, you're telling a story with your clothing, what you just said, and you are telling it in front of a camera very loud. So my major mistake would be, or my advice, consider the 4 Fs, which are fit, fabric, function, and flair. Mm. But let's move on to the next one, the B for behavior. So what's the major mistake in terms of behavior?
I would go with low energy. Mm. So for TV or radio, we have to add some more energy into it so people can really connect with you. And usually in these mediums, it loses a little bit of energy. And that's where the practice comes in. We can practice with our recording device in our pocket, our phones, and we can tell, does this seem like I'm not excited about my own topic? Mm-hmm. I should be excited. No one should be more excited about it than me in the world. So, yeah, that would be a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I would add body language, which mm-hmm. probably is also a way to show that energy. I'm often surprised how people sit or stand in front of a camera, what their body language says about them, and very often it doesn't match the words that come out of their mouth, right?
Oh, yeah. And look, even as Sylvie was talking about those four other areas, I was thinking to myself, the 4 Fs, I was thinking to myself, this is not my area of expertise, and you should figure out, you should seek out whether it's one of our books or anybody's book or tune in wherever. Get the information because we need that second opinion. So same with body language. And here's a good strategy. I like to give things away like this. Media secret is tilt forward 15 degrees when you're on camera. Yes. Now, Sylvie, even though we're both on radio, we both tilt forward because what's closest to the camera is largest. Mm. What's furthest away is smallest. So if you want to have a smaller stomach, and your head would be bigger, but that actually looks better on camera mm-hmm. than a tiny little head and a huge stomach. That's not what we want. And then you look thinner, and the whole camera adds 15 pounds thing now is not an issue. How about that?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
C for communication is the next one.
Yes.
Biggest mistake in terms of communication, spoken words.
Biggest mistake, winging it. Just saying, yeah, winging it. Just saying, oh, I know what I talk about. I'll just go in and we'll see what happens. You need to have a plan and a strategy, even if you divert from that strategy. My strategy today, give away as many secrets as I can and strategies. That's my main, and be supportive and really think about the audience. So I came in here thinking, okay, we have business owners. We want to talk about marketing. How is this a part of marketing? And ideally, that's coming through. And I think a lot of people go in and they don't get warmed up until the interview is almost over.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's not good. And practice.
Yes, yes, yes.
What do you think?
So mine is a personal story that you shouldn't let communication get into your way. I have been invited several times to a show talking about politicians in New Jersey, and as you can imagine, we have a lot to talk about some yes. specific politicians in New Jersey, about their image and their appearance and how they present themselves.
Yeah.
And when I watched myself in the evening on TV, I thought, oh my God, it's terrible, it's embarrassing, it's hilarious, me with my accent, with that German, French, Italian something in between all those professional people in the studio. So at the holiday party once, I asked the producer and said, you know what, actually I don't understand why you invite me again and again and again and again, because that accent. And he said, well, that's the reason we invite you, because you sound like an international expert.
See,
and I walked out with wide shoulders, very confident, and thought, wow, I'm an international expert. What? Right. I can do that. So if I can do it, you can do it.
And in fact, just piggybacking off of that, everybody who's listening right now has something that they think is their biggest obstacle or their biggest negative. And I tell people, take what you think is your biggest negative and make mm-hmm. it your biggest positive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is the perfect example.
Exactly.
You figured, oh, I have an accent. Is that going to be a problem? And you've had this happen before where people say, well, you're very international. I feel like you are the expert. And she is. So, yeah, own it. So whatever it is, figure out what it is and how can you turn it. And I have this come up all the time. I have one gentleman with a very gravelly voice, and he was a financial advisor, and he said, I'll never be able to do interviews. I said, you sound like a coach, and like a basketball coach. And he said, well, true, people call me Coach Bob. I said, well, guess what, you're Coach Bob from now on for the rest of our day together.
It's your friend, yeah.
And he owned it. Mm-hmm. We had a whole group that day, and then he ran with that as his branding, because you hear that and then you say, I love that guy, as opposed to, why does he have a gravelly voice?
Mm-hmm.
So own those negatives.
Very quickly before we go into the break, share an example for D4 Digital Footprint with me. For what major mistake could I make there?
I think major mistake, again, not having a plan and not having follow through. And, you know, all of us could be better. I could be even better with it. And people think, Jess, you're doing and you're everywhere. I'll think to myself, well, there's even more that I can do. So take traditional interviews, if we're going to mix them now with digital. You must get them on over to the digital side. For years, I would let the interview sit in my computer, and that doesn't help anybody.
Mm-hmm,
doesn't help my business at all.
Not sharing, not promoting.
Sharing it, right. And the rule is probably 80-20, which is 80% giving and then 20% promoting.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're giving 80% of the time, people will see you as somebody who helps. And you should be going with the type of digital promotion you feel comfortable with. If you don't like Facebook Live, which is really hot now, and I just did one yesterday, you and I should do one before the day ends here, then go with podcasting or blogging. The reason the blog would be Google sees it, and they'll mm-hmm, send more mm-hmm, people mm-hmm, to your mm-hmm. site. So you have to do something and be consistent.
Mm-hmm. Perfect.
What do you think?
Very short, the same. I absolutely agree. Not helping to promote or share the show afterwards is a major, major mistake. I'm going to disclose two of the many secrets you share in your book, Jess.
Disclose away.
Yes. Two techniques that I found tremendously helpful, and I have learned a lot from them. Both are great examples for the hands-on advice you give your readers in your book. The first one is, what's the three-message technique?
Three messages. So, you know, we know things come in threes. And there was this old idea, I call it 1960s style media training. And the reason why I call it that, because people will usually say, yes, you know, when the Kennedy-Nixon debates were taking place, and they go into that whole thing about dress and all that, I usually say, don't we have any newer examples? That's been, you know, 60 years. So the old idea was that you have these three phrases and you say it over and over in an interview. If I did that today, mm-hmm. I would alienate the entire audience. They would be upset and tune away and be throwing things at their radio, and you would be unhappy. That's not what people should do. So what the technique is you write out not the questions but the answers that you wish you would say in the interview. and you just take about 5 or 7 minutes and write out these answers. Then you look for 3 common themes or headings, and you now take a second sheet of paper and you divide it into 3 columns, and you now transfer those answers over and come up with 3 categories so you can categorize them. And I'll give away one of the popular categories: problem, solution, call to action.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be anything you want, and as long as your brain can access. But if I come in here and I say, I want to highlight the problems people have, I want to give solutions — this is all within the same answer, by the way — and I want to give clear calls to action of what people should do, that's a perfect answer, and every answer can stand on its own. A lot of people are tuning in right now. They may be in their car, and they may only hear this one answer.
Mm-hmm,
and they
mm-hmm.
say, that's fantastic. How can I do it? So that's the technique. It's 3 categories of answers.
I see. Perfect.
Yeah.
Another one.
Secret.
Another secret.
Media secret.
The sound bites system. Tell me more about the sound bites system.
Yes. So when I was putting together Media Secrets, the book Media Secrets, I was thinking back. By the way, that's a good way to do a plug. You say it on the way to saying something valuable, just highlighting it for everyone. It's another secret. Anyway, when I was putting it together, I was thinking back to when I left my time as a TV producer and started my business as a media consultant, media trainer. And I started thinking, a lot of these media trainers say, speak in sound bites. Okay, why? Why do we want to do it? And one of the reasons is, if it's a slice and dice interview — you and I are doing a long form interview, so it's less important, but it does make the interview pop. But if it's a short interview, like the evening news, they only use 1 or 2 answers, or talking to a print reporter where they only use 1 or 2 quotes, now we have to make it so that these quotes become irresistible and they pick the one that we like the most. So I boiled it down to, about 14 different techniques. And basically, what I did was reverse engineer what it was that we were looking for. When I was back in TV, we would grab a tape and go into an edit room. They used to still use tape back then. And we go into an edit room and say, I know it when I hear it. And we'd find an answer and put it in the piece. So some of the techniques could be pop culture references, mixing that into something that you would say. Could be using an analogy, or action-oriented words, or again, those threes, saying we need to do this, we need to do this, and we need to do this. There's something about that that really makes it pop and come together. If I was talking about a business person and I said, you know, he's the Donald Trump of the marketing world, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I mean, that would mean something. That's using a pop culture analogy for it. And again, the reason is we want to create irresistible answers so that person runs with it and takes the answer that we wrote
in
advance.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
You see, only 2 secrets of the many, many, many secrets
hopefully we gave
you
more
share
today
in your book. So make sure that you get Jess' books. That being said, where can our listeners get more information about you?
About me. So you can either go to mediasecretsbook.com, and then you'll see links and information about me as well as the book, or successinmedia.com, which is my main site and training site. And they can look around, hopefully get some good, interesting, free information as well. There's always some good free stuff on there to get people to, you know, hear what I have to say. And I just want people to take next steps as you're tuning in today. We'll put a lot of pressure on ourselves and figure and say, well, I'm not ready for it because I need to work on this one thing. Go out there, do something. Use the power. We can reach the entire world now. And right now we're talking to the New York tri-state area, but I'm sure we'll take this interview and we'll push it out over social media. And ideally, this interview works for years to come. I probably will. I was interviewed on The Daily Show, and people find that was 6 years ago.
Cool.
People find that on my website and are impressed by it and end up working with me. How great is that?
So thank you very much for sharing those 2 links. Do you want to repeat them one more time?
Sure,
just to make sure everybody has them.
So mediasecretsbook.com, where actually they'll be able to get some free bonuses that relate to the book, and they'll find out about me, or successinmedia.com.
Okay,
go check it out.
Yeah. What's the most interesting thing about you that we wouldn't find on those 2 links or URLs or websites and in your bio? What's the most interesting thing?
Well, you'll be the judge if this is the most interesting thing. But I'm a dedicated dad, and I married my high school sweetheart, and family super, super important with me for me. And I go on Boy Scout camping trips mm-hmm. at least once a month, and am out there sleeping on the floor in a tent nowadays with a blow-up mattress. But some people don't realize there are different worlds, you know, that we're in. So I may be up on a stage one moment dressed in one of my fancy suits that Sylvie helped me pick out. And actually recently I got out to my car and was driving and taking off my suit and getting into all of the, you know, rough weather clothing to go sleep out on the floor, as I like to call it. So, yeah, just having fun with my two boys and my family and really, right. Look, as business people, it's really a time management issue for us to make time for those other important things, the reason why we're doing it all.
You have been on media too as a guest.
Yes, yeah.
Share with us, what was your biggest faux pas?
Probably not following my own advice when I said practice before an interview and know what you're going to say. And going out there, when I first started in the beginning, a lot of what I talk about, I got to learn the hard way. So going out, this is when I was doing some reporting. I did some reporting, I got back and I looked at the tape, low energy. I should know this. I was a TV producer for years. Why did I not see this? So it was doing that. People worry about the ums and ahs. If you look closely or go back and listen to the tape, I'm sure I had a couple of ums and ahs. But early on, oh, they were everywhere. And one of the techniques for getting rid of ums and ahs is to sit down with a 5-minute audio of yourself and with an edit program. It's something I provide for people. And you have to highlight, just like you would in a Word document, the ums, and then click delete. And when you do it and you're hearing yourself say it over and over, you get mad at yourself and you don't like. So all of the, and then by the end, you hear how great it sounds once you've hit highlight and delete. And then you realize, wow, this is the possibility of what it could be. All these mistakes, you know, and you were very sweet and you said, you know, you're the media expert and all this. And sometimes we have to rise to the occasion. But in the very beginning, I didn't feel like the media expert because I had just started my business. So I was a TV producer 13 years. I've been running my business 13 years. So in the beginning, I wasn't really sure. And there's that old phrase, fake it till you make it. I don't like that because of the idea of fakery. So my phrase, act it and become it. So act the part. Those of you who are starting your business and are earlier on in those moments when you don't feel it, act it and then you'll become it.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I noticed a big faux pas too today. I walked in here today realizing I'm wearing the same outfit that I had on when I was here with Jacek's interview as a guest.
They can't tell it's radio.
But they can't tell
we're
it's
revealed.
Radio. And unfortunately, we are coming to an end with this radio show. And before we close this show, I would like to share three incredible sources of information with everybody. First, make sure to get Jacek's book. So What's the Bottom Line, which contains timeless advice for marketers, executives, and entrepreneurs. 76 proven marketing tips and techniques for building your business and personal brand. So make sure to get a copy of this book if you haven't done yet. And second, you already know about my book, The Image of Leadership, from if you listened to my interview with Jacek. Therefore, instead of getting a copy of the book, I want you to take a look at howyouimpress.com. HowYouImpress.com.
They should still get the book. It's a great book.
Yeah, but you know, there is a new product, my newest product, A True Labor of Love, which is a 5-week online course that leads you step by step through your personal and professional image transformation. So if you want to do an online makeover, you will find 27 video, audio, and text lessons available there online and downloadable to keep for your lifetime.
It's a business strategy, people.
Absolutely.
I'm living it.
And last but not least, Chess' newest bestseller, Media Secrets, a media training crash course. Get more publicity, look and feel your best, and convert interviews into web traffic and sales. Strategies for TV, print, radio, and internet media. Where can we get your book, Chess?
Amazon or the MediaSecrets, MediaSecretsBook.com, if I could say my own website. And yeah, just go over and check it out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be very eye-opening. A lot of actionable strategies and
Perfect.
Secrets.
Yeah.
I gave away every secret
mm-hmm.
in the book.
And one lucky person can get the book for free and even autographed.
Ooh, yes.
So don't forget to send a text message to 66866 and put in the word bottom line. Also, stop by at wabcbizradio.com for the recording of this show, but also for recordings of the many other fascinating conversations that happened in this studio.
Sylvie, you don't have to text. Let the people text. Yeah. I'm teasing her. She has a copy already.
Absolutely, an autographed one here next to me. It's just for me. And tune in again next Sunday night at 11 p.m. for another edition of Mind Your Business. It will be again with your great host, Yitzhak Saf. Last home, I can't thank enough for giving me this opportunity. Thank you again to him and his team, the team at 77WABC, and the biggest thank you goes to you, the listeners out there. Thanks for tuning in and for spending an hour with me, despite the Austrian, French, Italian something accent. And Jess, also big thank you to you for taking the time and sharing your media secrets with us. As we bring the interview to a close, I have one final question and request for you.
Yes.
Teach me something I don't know, a fun fact about animals.
About animals. Meanwhile, you named the only ones that I probably know. And again, she was referring to, this is so off topic, when there are certain emails, I want to see if people are noticing them, people in my inner circle, I will put something fun at the bottom. It's about reading people and animals too. You can, just like you can read people, you know, there are expressions. Tune into all of that. This is how I bring it home, by the way, make it relevant.
You did not answer my question yet.
That you don't know that we can, just like reading people, we can read animals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was walking at this preserve near my home where we bike and exercise. And you can tell we have these dogs, some were on a leash, some weren't. And you look at their face and you kind of know, you're deciding, are they friendly, are they not? I mean, it's something we should do in the, I'm bringing it back to people, obviously, that we can do in the business world. But, you know, same thing with animals. And here's an add-on one, which are cat videos really get a lot of play on YouTube and social media. If you can somehow, and this is me being cute, but actually I'm curious if somebody tests this out, mix a cat video with your own topic, I bet it goes viral. Try it out and then email me. You know, go look me up at one of those websites. We'll see if it's a new strategy.
Thank you.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.